Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so glad you're here this morning. If I don't know you or I haven't met you, my name's Amy, and I get to be on staff here at Ashworth and be up here every now and then. And this morning I'm excited. We are kicking off a series called Remix. We haven't done one of these in a while, but we try every couple years. We do a remix series, and basically it's like taking old series that we've done and reminding us things from them. So, you know, you can hear a million messages over time and you never remember them, or you remember bits and pieces. And so we do a remix series where we bring out like highlights from different series that we've done. And the one I'm gonna highlight today, the message I'm gonna preach on, is a throwback from our Lost Arts series. We did a series called The Lost Arts, Ancient Practices for Postmodern Faith. And the topic, the lost art that I'm gonna address today, is a favorite of mine. It's a very, very, very lost art, and that is rest. So let me pray this morning and then I'll jump in. God, thank you for this space. Thank you for how you move in worship. Thank you for time to be together and to hear from you. God, I need you this morning. And I know there's other people in this room who need you and need to hear from you. So I pray that you would just kind of move me out of the way, God, that you would speak through me however you want, and that you would just do your thing. Holy Spirit, would you do what only you can do and whatever you want to do? Teach us about something we desperately need today. We long to leave this place different and transformed by you, not just, you know, doing things and listening to things, but really receiving something from you that changes us, God. So would you do that this morning? We love you, Jesus, and we pray in your name. Amen. So my daughter Pearl is good at a lot of things. One of them, though, one thing that she's not good at is rest. She's 3 years old, and rest is her hell. And it has been since she was a baby. She's not my sleeper child, okay? And she, every nap is a fight. Every quiet time or rest time, whatever we call it, whatever words we give it, she knows what it is. And she hates it, and she resists it, and she fights it. She doesn't like sleeping, right? She is not a rester. She doesn't know how to rest. And it drives me crazy, because what does a toddler need? A toddler needs sleep. A toddler needs rest. And a mom needs her toddler to rest. Because when she doesn't rest, she's really cranky. She gets this little sassy. She gets this look in her eyes. And it becomes an issue. And when she doesn't sleep, when she doesn't rest, we all know it in our house. Her teachers know it. We feel it. And it affects many things. It affects her, it affects our family, it affects the dynamic in the house, it multiplies over days when she's not had the rest she needs over days, right? And I complain about this from time to time to my husband, and he's very gentle and loving, but he has told me in a very gentle and loving way, she got that from you. You're not very good at rest, you know? I mean, he says it in a nice, much nicer way than that. But it makes me laugh because he's right. We're not that different. Pearl and I both struggle to rest. And I know in this room, there's a whole bunch of you who are like me and who are like Pearl Becker, who struggle to rest because it's not part of our culture. It's not part of the kind of context where we live, the country that we live in, and the chaos where we live. We resist rest. And Pearl does this thing even where she, even when she's exhausted and I can see it in her face and she's so close to bedtime, and all of a sudden out of nowhere comes this energy, and she digs deep in herself and she finds what she has left and she gives it her all, and she runs like naked around the kitchen table or flies up and down the stairs and hollers and sings and screams. And again, I feel like I do the same thing. Brent was telling, we were sharing, oh, I don't run naked. I don't run naked around the kitchen table. That's funny. I promise I don't do that. I do sing and dance and find the energy in me. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Okay. Anyway, sorry for the mental picture anybody's having. Okay. Anyway, I am the same way. I struggle to rest, and then even the more tired I am, the more I like fight it. I fight it. I was sharing, swapping stories with Brent, who has a toddler also, and he was telling me, he's like, oh, Julian bangs his legs on the wall. Like, before he goes to sleep, he just bangs them to continue to keep himself awake. Does Pearl do that? So we're sharing all these stories. And I was laughing because it's true. I do the same thing, and many of us do the same thing. We are exhausted, we're tired, we're weary, we need rest, and what do? We resist it. And then when we're really tired and we're really exhausted, we fight it, and we do anything to keep ourselves going and to keep ourselves awake and to keep ourselves producing and functioning, right, and performing. We don't bang our legs on the wall, okay? We do not run naked around the kitchen table. We don't do those kinds of things, but we do other things. And here's a perfect example that I saw this week.
But there's so much more you want to do. New Starbucks Triple Shot Energy. 225 milligrams of caffeine for the energy to do what matters to you. What gives you energy?
I saw this commercial this week. And I laughed. I was like, this could be an SNL like digital short. Like, it, if you think about this in the context of what we're talking about, it seems like a joke, right? Where it's like, I don't know if you heard the very beginning, but he's like, you don't have the energy to do what you need to do. You know, you're exhausted and you don't have the energy to do what you need to do. Here you go. Here's your answer. It's this triple shot, right? Like the coffee that you drank, the pot of coffee you drank this morning didn't work. The double shot you had didn't work. Now it's the triple shot, right? As adults, we do other things to keep ourselves going, to keep ourselves from resting. We do this, and I will admit, I have had a triple shot. I've had that drink. It's pretty good. The world's answer, though, to exhaustion, the world's answer to weariness and to being tired, the world's answer is 225 milligrams of caffeine. And God's answer is not that. God's answer to exhaustion, God's answer to our weariness is to rest. And I want to convince us this morning that that's good, that rest is good. 225 milligrams of caffeine might be okay, and it might get you through, but rest is good. And rest is what God has for us. And this is truly a lost art, truly countercultural. So I wanted to start off, when I was thinking about this message this week, I kept thinking about, why is rest so hard for us? Why do we resist it? What is it about rest that makes us resist? And I started to think again about Pearl, and her biggest motivator for not resting is she doesn't want to miss out on something. And I actually share that trait with her as well. I don't know if you guys have heard of FOMO or FOMS, fear of missing out, fear of missing something. It's a real thing, and I experience it. Pearl experiences it. I know many of you do. And we kind of joke about it, but it's very true. There's something about our humans in the culture that we live in the world we live in, where we fear missing something, right? So somebody invites you to something, you know you don't have the capacity to do it. Your boss gives you another task. You know you don't have the capacity to do it, right? There's all these things that we continue to say yes to when we actually don't have the resources or the capacity or the means or the energy to do it, and we say yes again and again. If you're not doing it physically, you might be doing it over your phone, right? When I'm exhausted and I'm weary, I'm scrolling social media, and Matthew's like, what are you doing? You know, you said you're going to bed. I'm like, this is part of going to bed. I need to see what's going on in people's lives, right? You know, we struggle to shut down and to shut off. We continue to resist rest in every area, in our relationships, at work, in our producing, in our social media, you know, even online and all those things in our lives. And some of it is simply because we fear missing something. We have been taught that we need to be engaged all the time, or we have to be engaged in something all the time. And then I ask God, I'm like, I know there's more. What else, God, makes me, tell me, teach me, like, why do I resist rest? And then I felt like I heard some things that seemed a little deeper. And the first one was, I felt like this was a personal one for me this week, but I felt God say, because it reveals what's below the surface. When you rest, the things that are beneath the surface come out. They're revealed. And you don't want to face those things. I think that we live a lot of our lives busy and producing and working and going from one thing to the next. And even when we're not going to things, if we're looking through our phones or we're watching something, we're constantly filling our minds with things and doing things in order that the things below the surface would not be revealed. Because usually the things that are below the surface for us are pain, our disappointment, our grief, our sin, like our mess that we don't want to talk about. Those are usually the things that are right below the surface. And as we rest, those things come out. Those things are revealed in quietness, in stillness, in rest. And then I felt like the other thing that God spoke this week was, it's also about, it requires a release of control. When we rest, we release some element of control, right? When you rest, when you choose to rest instead of going, you leave things undone. You maybe have to delegate something and you don't want to delegate it. You want to be in control. Or things get left undone that you're uncomfortable with. Or you have to just remove your hands from a situation where you want to be involved and engaged and control, and you can't. Essentially, it's like humility. You know, as we release control, we have to be humble. We have to believe. Rest makes us believe that we can't and we don't hold all things together. And all of these things are true. When we rest, we miss out on things. When you rest, you do miss out. When you rest, you have things revealed. Hard things come up. When you rest, yes, you have to release control. You don't get to control everything. But what I want to say this morning is that all of those things are really good things. It's really good for us to not be engaged in everything, in every circle, and to have our full capacity engaged all the time. It's really good for us to have to release things. It's good for us to not be in control. It's good for us to have the things that are beneath the surface revealed. It's good and necessary because that's where God's work internally and in our lives can begin. Rest is so good for us. And now I want to talk about what it is and what it isn't. I want to get practical this morning as we think about our own lives. What is rest and what isn't? And what isn't rest? And sometimes I think we have had wrong definitions of rest. You know, we have this idea of this is what it means to rest. And everybody has a different idea. But I want to address a few of those this morning. So let's start by talking about what rest isn't. And the reason this idea for this Lost Art Series remix came up was because it's vacation season, right? Rest is not vacation. Can I get an amen? Amen? You might be reminded of that because you might have just come back from vacation and realized that you are no more rested before you left for vacation than you are now, right? Some of you maybe have taken great vacations and had good rest. But I want to say this morning that vacation is not rest. It's an illusion of rest, but it's usually not rest, right? How many of you have had that thought? I just need to get through this. And once I get through this and I can go on that vacation or I have that week off, then I'll be okay, and everything will be okay, and I'll be fine, right? We usually wait forever. This idea of vacation is like you wait until you're completely out of fuel and everything, and then you go on vacation. And we wonder why we fight with our families and why there's conflict on vacation, because a bunch of you are weary and tired, and now you're together in one room with nothing to do, right? But I think that I've had those moments where I wait for an event. And that's the thing about vacation. It's an event. I wait for this event. I wait for this vacation. We just had one. And I expect that it's going to be incredible, and I'm going to leave, and I'm going to feel rested and all these things. And I don't, and I'm disappointed. Rest is not a vacation. Vacation is an event, and rest is not an event. I took a 24-hour silent retreat a while ago, and I spoke with a woman that was leading. She leads retreats all the time, like hosts people. And she talked about how, she talked about this, how people think vacation is a restful thing, and it's typically not, because people have waited so long to get the rest they need that they can't actually rest. And what she talked about was, for most people, I was doing a 24-hour retreat, which I thought was challenging, but she said, most people who really enjoy their retreat do a 10-day retreat of silence. I was like, what? She said, yeah. She was like, people go longer than that. She said, I've had people that come and stay for a month, and they do a retreat of silence for a month. What? I was like, that is mind-blowing, and she was just laughing. She said, I bet you have a week's worth of internal noise that needs to be dealt with. And she talked about how the people who are there for 10 days or longer enjoy their experience because she said it takes them almost a week just to have all the internal noise finally kind of shut down and to be able to really hear God speak and to be able to address some of those things that are coming up. That's crazy, right? Vacation is not rest. And inactivity is the other thing I was thinking about. Inactivity is not rest. This is kind of my go-to, where I go, 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 and I finally have a moment, a day off, or a weekend off or something, and I crash, and I crash hard, and I'm like, I don't want to do anything. You know, I want to lay on the couch, and I want to watch. I want to binge watch some true crime documentary on Netflix. And I want to watch 6 episodes, and I don't want anyone, you know, now I have kids, so I can't do that anymore, but does anybody do that, where you feel like you go, 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 and then you crash, and you veg hard, you know, you watch, I feel like working with college students, this is Christmas break, they're like, Christmas break, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to do this, and this, and this, they go home, and you know what they do? Watch Netflix for 3 weeks, and come back, they're like, it wasn't very satisfying. You know, I don't feel very rested, and that's typically how I feel. If I go, 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 and then I crash, and even take a day off or a day for myself where I binge watch Netflix or, you know, zone out or numb out, I feel more tired when the day is over. I feel so weary, and I haven't been rested at all. There's an author that a book I read, a while ago by a woman named Jenny Allen, and she talked about, it was called Nothing to Prove, and she talked about this concept of numbing out and how we do this a lot in our inactivity, where when we're really tired and we're weary or we've had some hard things come up in our lives and we need rest, instead of actually getting good rest, we numb out. And she talked about how it's this idea of, like, we watch Netflix, we still keep our brains busy, but we don't open our hearts, and we do this. We can do it with food. You can do it with TV. It's like this way of keeping yourself busy even though you're thinking that you're at rest. And she said the problem isn't numbing. She said that numbing is just a symptom. She talked about how we numb our bodies when there's an injury, right? What do? We numb our bodies with ice so that we can't feel the injury, and we do the same thing with Netflix, with whatever it may be, books, TV, food, whatever it may be. But we do a lot of that in inactivity. Inactivity is not rest. So what is rest? I started to ask that question this week, and I was thinking, there's so much. I'm like, where in Scripture do we see rest? There's so much, actually, in Scripture that we see about rest. Jesus himself rested. When he was doing ministry, he took time to leave and to go and rest. We know that in creation, there was rest. There's a whole day, like one of the whole portions of creation is a day of rest for the created and the creator. But what I found that I kind of settled into this week was David's Psalm, Psalm 23. And it's a restful psalm. It's a psalm really about rest and about the practice of rest. And so I want to read that to us this morning. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So what do we learn about rest from this passage? What do we learn from David in Psalm 23? I'm sure many of you have heard this passage before, have read it before. But if you look at it through the lens of rest, what do you see? What does David teach us about rest? I think the first thing we learn about rest is that rest is relationship. I'm going to tell you right now, these are all ours, because I've been hanging out with Brent and Ryan for too long, and they're all excited when they saw my slides, like, wow, you used an alliteration, all ours, good job, and 4 points. You're really learning to preach now. Relationship, rest is relationship. The first line is, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It's this idea of, I'm not taking care of myself. I am not guiding myself and leading myself. I'm not. My shepherd is in charge. The Lord is my shepherd. It says that he guides me, he leads me, he makes me lie down. That made me think of Pearl. He makes me lie down, right? We have to be made to lie down. And he's the active one. The shepherd is the active one leading the sheep, and the sheep follow. If you look at the whole passage, in fact, the shepherd is the active one over and over. All the language around action is the shepherd. The sheep is the one that says, I will fear no evil, I will dwell. That's our job, to fear no evil, to dwell. And the Lord is the one that leads us and guides us. And as I was thinking about this passage, I thought, wow, really most of us live, and I'll throw myself under the bus, but most of us live, if we truly read this psalm from the truest part of our being, it would say, I am my shepherd, and I make sure that I lack nothing. I work, and I produce, and I do everything I need to make sure that my needs are taken care of. I am my shepherd. But that's not what Psalm 23 says. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. Rest begins with relationship. Rest is necessary. Relationship is necessary for rest. And it begins by us being humble enough to say, I'm a sheep. I'm not the shepherd. And I need my shepherd to lead me. And then we see that rest is rhythm. In Psalm 23, we see rhythm. Unlike vacation, which I said is an event, right? One time a year, maybe twice a year if you got the PTO and the money. Like, rest is not an event. Rest is a rhythm. And we see that here in a daily rhythm. It says that the shepherd leads the sheep to the green pasture and leads the sheep to the still waters. That's food and water. You need food and water on a daily basis. So immediately in this passage, you see there's a daily leading, a day for the shepherd and a daily resting for the sheep. The shepherd leads the sheep to green pastures to lie down and eat and get their sustenance and what they need. They lead them to water, to get the water and the life that they need. And it's a daily thing. There's a way that we could rest daily, that we can experience rest on a daily basis. It's a rhythm. It's something that we do daily. And I think about, you know, the Sabbath. It's a weekly thing. There's a way that God has created us that we daily need to rest with our shepherd, that we weekly need to rest with our shepherd. We don't wait and wait and wait and wait and take a week off during the year. But we learn to have rhythms with our shepherd. I think it's interesting, I was reading a little bit about the still waters part and, you know, the kind of daily leading to the green pasture and the still waters. And apparently sheep don't drink from rough water. They won't drink from water that's really moving, that's turbulent anyway. So the sheep have to be led by their shepherd to still waters. And if there aren't still waters, the shepherd has to go to great lengths to, you know, pour this water into a trough so they can drink still water. And I thought it was interesting. It just seems profound that David points out the waters were still. And it feels like water is essential to life, right? For these sheep, they absolutely have to drink water daily in order to live. And it's in this stillness, there's like a metaphor for us as followers of Jesus who are led by our shepherd to find life, like they find water, to find life daily in the stillness, in the still waters with our shepherd. We aren't meant to go and go and go and then rest. We're meant to have daily times of rest with our shepherd and weekly times of rest, rhythms of rest. And I love, too, that it's not just time when he talks about rhythm in this psalm. It's not just about finding rest in a daily or weekly rhythm, but it's finding rest in the rhythms of life and the circumstances that we face. We know that life can be good, it can be hard, it can be scary, it can be weary, but we find life and we find rest in those places. He talks about how in the darkest valley, in the presence of his enemies, God sets a table. God's with him. This idea that we get to experience daily and weekly rhythms of life and God leading us to places of life. And then also even in circumstances, in the rhythm of life where we face really hard things, whether it's something really good and beautiful, or whether we're in our darkest valley, or whether we're in the presence of our enemies and things are so hard and we're experiencing pain and persecution, even in those places, we can find rest. That's crazy to me. And I've experienced that, and even this morning, I've had some hard things happening. And this morning I got here and I told Ryan, I'm like, I'm gonna go in my office and shut my door and practice what I'm preaching. I need a minute to rest and to remember that in the midst of a dark valley, in the midst of the presence of your enemies, even there, David shows us in this passage that even there we can find rest. Because there we're led and we're being guided by our shepherd, our good shepherd, who's protecting us, who's loving us, who's got our best interest in mind. And then I think in that place of the darkest valley and the place of the presence of your enemies, I see another R. And I think that rest is reorienting. Rest reorients us so that we know and understand what is true. Does anybody else get weird in their brains when they're tired? You get weird, right? Or in your emotions? Again, there's so many parallels to toddler life and us when we're tired, right? My emotions can lead me to very dark places when I'm weary, when I'm tired. My brain isn't sharp and I'm not thinking straight. And it can be a spiral. I was talking last week with somebody here about, like, you know, when we get these thoughts in our head, there's a spiral that takes us to dark places. But rest reorients us. It brings us back to what's true. So even in the darkest places, even in the presence of our enemies, where we face persecution or we face pain, there's a reorienting that happens when we're resting with our shepherd. A reorienting of our circumstances so that we can actually see correctly what's going on, so that we can see and experience correctly the goodness of God, even in the face of hard things. There's a reorienting that happens in rest where we know what is true and we know that we have a good shepherd. And then finally, in this passage, I see that rest is restorative. It says, he refreshes my soul. It talks about the refreshing of the soul, or in other translations, the restoration of our souls. And that's what we're looking for in rest, the restoring of our souls. And when it talks about souls in this passage, the soul is kind of the core of your being. The soul is really in Hebrew, in this passage, I was reading this commentary about the translation and The more accurate translation is like, this soul is actually life. And it talked about how, this man talked about how the most accurate translation of this would actually be, he causes life to return to you. That your soul is the innermost part of who you are. Essentially, your soul is your life. Your soul is who you are. And so when he says, I will restore your soul, I will refresh your soul, he's essentially saying, the shepherd is saying, or God is saying, that I will give life back to you. I will give your life back. And I think that's usually what we're seeking in rest, is life, right? We feel lifeless. We feel exhausted. We feel tired and lost. And we're longing for life and renewed life and restored life. And life does not come through a triple shot. And life doesn't come through Netflix. And life doesn't come through doing one more thing. Life doesn't come through getting everything checked off your to-do list as you should. Life doesn't come by scrolling social media one more time. Life comes from letting our shepherd lead us and guide us, reorient our minds and our hearts, leading us into rhythms of rest. And in those places, he restores us. He causes life to return to our soul. I had a friend who would ask me, how is it with your soul? I was like, what a deep question. Don't ask me that. I like, how are you better? I'm like, I'm fine. I'm okay. You know, how is it with your soul? I'm like, ah, so deep. John Wesley apparently used to ask this question of the people that he discipled and did ministry with. He would say, how is it with your soul? It's like actually a great question. How is it with your soul? If we think about soul being translated as life, how is it with your life, the core of who you are? How is it? How are you? There's a scripture that I'm sure many of you have heard in the Gospels where it says, you know, what is it? What is it for a person to gain the whole world but lose their soul? What does that profit them? What does that profit you to gain the world and lose your soul? And I think that there's some connection here with rest. We are, because we want to do more and see more and be engaged in more, and we keep drinking these triple shots and we keep doing whatever it is to keep going and going and going. And I'm afraid in the process, we're losing our soul. We're losing our life. And what do we gain? We gain the world. Really, we just gain others' approval. We gain, you know, maybe feeling engaged with someone that we should. But we don't actually gain anything significant. We don't gain rest and relationship and restoration that we actually need. It's very countercultural to be a person who values rest. But it's a gift that God longs to give us as followers of him. He's saying, let me give you rest. I want to give your soul back to you. I want to give you life. So I think we should start asking ourselves that question. I'll be the annoying person and ask you, how is it with your soul? Ask each other that. Ask your spouse that. Ask your kids that. I'll trip them out. Ask your coworker. Find someone that you can ask that question with. How is it with your soul? And that's not I don't like that question because that's not a question I can just flippantly answer. I gotta know, you know? I need rest to know how it is with my soul for those things to be revealed and to come up. But God wants to reveal those things. God wants to give us life in our souls. God wants to reorient us to what's true, no matter the circumstances. God wants to give us rhythms in our daily life, in our weekly life, that give us life and give our souls life. God wants to restore. He wants those things to be revealed, to come to the surface, and he wants to reveal them so that he can heal them and mend them and work on them so that you become a more restored, healthy, satisfied follower of Jesus. And I think that's my whole point on this passage. And one thing I became more and more convinced of this week as I was preparing is that this is all very good. We look at rest like it's a punishment. We look at rest like it's a necessary evil. But rest is so good. And God longs to do a restorative work, a reorienting work, a rhythmic work in rest, so that our relationship with our shepherd grows and we flourish under his care. I love how this passage ends, because I was talking about how rest is good. And if you look at the very end of the passage, it talks about how the last bit is, and his goodness and his love will follow you all the days of your life. It's telling you, you need rhythms, you need to be led by your shepherd. Embrace being led by the shepherd. Embrace his restoration. Embrace his reorientation. Embrace the rhythms that he's inviting you into. And as you do that, surely goodness and love will follow you for the rest of your life. And that's a really fun one to look up the translation in Hebrew too, also, because it isn't this passive following. It's actually like a more literal translation would be, surely goodness and love will chase you down, will hunt you down for the rest of your life. And I love that visual of God's love and his goodness fiercely chasing us down. Because we need it, don't we? Rest is where we find relationship with our shepherd, is where we find restored life for our souls. It's where our brains and our hearts become reoriented to what's true. And rest matters. And it's so good. Our shepherd longs to give us this gift of rest. So I hope that we become people, that this is not a lost art anymore, that we become people who rest well and who embrace it and believe it, that it's a good thing and that God longs to give it. So worship team, if you want to come up, we're going to have a couple songs of worship as we close. But I want to give us a minute just to get really practical, because for me, even this week, I'm like, there's so many ways that I want to grow in being a person who actually rests well, because I think that I need it. I think I need it for my soul and for my heart and my relationships and my family. And I need rest. I need to learn how to do rest well. But it's really easy for me to be convinced of that and then to just carry on with life as normal. Because I can guarantee you, when you walk out of here into your job, into your family and the dynamics there, no one there is going to be like, oh, you should rest. You should take a break. You seem overworked. No one's looking out for you in that way, most likely. So I want us to just get really practical this morning. And as we close and worship, I want to encourage you, take a minute, close your eyes and begin to think about and ask God, where do I need rest? Is it in relationship with a shepherd? You haven't been in relationship with a shepherd, and you need to draw close to him and set aside time this week to connect with your shepherd. Maybe it's you have terrible rhythms in your life, and you're that person who went on vacation and came back resentful because you're still tired. And you need to think about, even this week, what's one rhythm you could begin this week to engage in rest with your shepherd? I think about when we did this series a while ago, when we did the one on rest, the Lost Art on Rest, Brent preached, and he brought up his chair, like his office chair. Do you remember that? And a table, and he had his tea mug. He doesn't drink coffee, and he had his little journal and stuff, and he sat it up here, and he was like, this is where I find rest. Sometimes we need a thing, a place, a specific thing. For me, mine has become Sunday afternoons, meal prep. I go to the grocery store and cutting vegetables and stirring things up and cooking. It's like this rhythmic, restful thing for me. Once a week, turn on a worship, turn on a podcast where I'm learning about Jesus or something. There's some kind of rhythms that we need to set in our lives. I would encourage you this morning, think about what's one thing you could do this week that would start a new rhythm. Take a minute. I'm going to pray for us. But will you take it seriously this morning? Will you consider a way that you can rest well and begin resting this week with your shepherd?